RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice.
Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. Wow. This week, I feel like a broken record, Josh, because each week I keep saying, boy, this is better than it was last week. And again, this is better than it was last week, and it just keeps getting better. I mean, they are on a major roll, and I just look forward, and all I see is, like, more awesomeness coming. So, not that I want it to stop, but...
No, I don't either. I'm wondering when they're going to have to stop and take a breath, but...
Right, they got to take a breath at some point here.
They do. They're going to have to I think pretty soon here, in the next couple episodes, they're probably going to have to slow it down a little bit to kind of get ready for a running start towards that mid-season break.
Mm.
But maybe not. Maybe they'll just keep going. So, I mean, they've built up so many little side storylines to prepare for more awesomeness that I don't know. We'll see. And the energy coming from the cast and crew it just continues to kind of to keep going, which I think really carries through in the episode. You can really see it in their
yeah.
in their performances. But
I don't know about you. I do look ahead and see what the names of episodes are that are coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I do not necessarily read the synopsis in advance. I might read it the night that the show's on, as you know, right as it starts or something like that. But I'm trying not to get spoiled too much. But I, you know, when you hear the title of an episode, or you might hear who some of the guest stars are, you kind of have an idea of where things are going. And when I found out that this episode was going to be called League of Assassins, I mean, the possibilities just started ticking off in my head. There's so much history to that phrase, which I hope that we can explore and get into here in this episode. But why don't you let us know a little bit about the episode named League of Assassins?
All right. Well, this League of Assassins is episode 5 of season 2, which I can't believe we're already in episode 5, but I've loved all 5 of them so far. Originally aired November 6th, 2013, and it was written by Jake Coburn and Drew Z. Greenberg. So I don't recognize those names. Have we seen those names?
I think Drew has written some stuff for Arrow previously. He is also a writer for Smallville, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Dexter, Warehouse 13. He's quite a prolific...
So just a few small shows there, huh?
Yeah, some things you may have heard about, you know, before. Yeah. So I think he's also written some comic properties as well, if I'm not mistaken. I'm taking a peek now, but go ahead if I find anything else. He worked on a Clone Wars episode.
Well, that brings him up in my book even a little bit more. So, the director of this episode is Wendy Stansler. Now, and this just occurred to me. I didn't even think to check of it, but not that it matters, but man or woman, Wendy Stansler? Do you know?
I believe it's a woman.
Okay. All right. Interesting. But let me tell you a little bit about what happened in this episode.
Okay.
And what we're going to talk about here. Oliver and the Canary they're attacked. Actually, I should say Oliver and Sarah, because neither one of them were in costume at the time. But Oliver and Sarah were attacked at the Queen Mansion by a trained killer from the League of Assassins. And she confesses.
League of Assassins!
Sorry,
Was that your, let's see, what now I lost his name. Would have been better if I thought I remembered his name.
the guy from the Super Friends, the host?
Yeah, who did the...
Yeah, I don't remember
Ted,
that.
Ted Knight? Ted, yeah.
Oh, Ted Knight, right, that's right. He was doing the, oh my gosh, from Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that was a pretty good Ted Knight. Anyway.
Okay.
So she confesses to Oliver how she's connected to this nefarious group.
The League of Assassins.
Now I want the music too.
Dun, 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 dun.
With Moira now, she's still, of course, in Iron Heights in prison, and they want to look for the death penalty because of murder, conspiracy, you know, all those little things like that with the destruction of the Glades.
Not the League of Assassins.
The assistant district attorney, he gives her a choice with the help of Laurel there. He goes in there and he says, look, she can plead guilty now and avoid that death penalty, but she'll get, you know, life in prison, or, you know, she can take her chances in court. So he's given her a choice. So, and we get some incredible flashbacks, but not so much with Oliver. It's this time, most of it is flashbacks of Sarah and her time from the ocean until her wonderful vacation on the Amazo.
Ah, yes. Nothing I love spending my time more than on a derelict boat with a bunch of crazy, bloodthirsty mercenaries and a possibly insane professor.
Yeah, yeah. It's not often that you get rescued from certain death only to wish that you could go back
right
to certain death.
So
all I can think of as our dragon, or, you know, her barefooted body through this hallway was, I bet she wishes she was back on that plank in the middle of the ocean. But
right,
that was a little disturbing scene, actually. So
yeah,
but.
We'll let's get to that in a minute here. So
yeah, we'll get into that.
Just some news from the week. People who watched the – I don't know if this is how the episode showed up on when it was streamed through CW or anything like that. But people who watched the episode live, there was a commercial basically with Felicity and Roy. It was sponsored by Bose, and it's part of a mini-sode – minisode episodes that are available, and it's called Blood Rush. And basically it is it's a commercial for Bose products and stuff like that. But, it's got Felicity, talking to Roy. He's here to see Oliver, and Felicity's just kind of rattling off at the mouth again, like she normally does. And Roy is like, okay, so this is like a good day for you? And she's like, yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. And so it's just like, I don't know, it's like a minute, I guess, or something like that. You can find it online. If you search for Arrow Blood Rush, you'll find the...
It's also on the CW website.
They're hosting it there too. Okay.
Yeah, you just go to the shows and click on Arrow, and you can find it there too. So
okay,
it's the same thing that was on live, but
yeah, I found it through YouTube. So and linked through another site. So
when I was watching on TV, when I was watching this episode, and I was fast forwarding through the commercials, and this one came on like, you know, just a few seconds after. I thought maybe I had accidentally skipped over part. I thought I was back in the episode and went back, and several times I finally figured it out. But I saw lots of Bose logos on it. I finally figured out what was going on.
Yeah. And she was wearing a pair of headphones, and she's like, oh, I can hear you. I'm on aware mode. It's like, oh, okay. So, and kind of interesting little thing where, you know, you're advertising stuff, but you keep in character and stuff. So we'll see what happens with that. And then, on last week's episode of, Green Justice, we were asking fans, what should the nickname for fans of Arrow or Green Arrow be? And, we've gotten, several emails, and I also saw a couple, I believe it was either tweets or it was people posting on our Facebook page. But there were a couple votes that came in for Arrowheads, which I thought was pretty clever. Now,
I thought that was a good one.
You had a couple other suggestions that came in to you, right?
I did. Somebody suggested to me bow lovers, which, while appropriate, I'm not sure that this was that. That's a very good nickname.
Right.
I kind of like Arrowheads a little better. And then, of course, my favorite, one of my students in my class suggested this one for me, the Hoodies.
The Hoodies. That's kind of cool. I like that. Sounds kind of like a band, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. I don't know if that would work or not.
Yeah. Well, so. If basically we want to know what you think out there in podcast land, so please feel free to send us an email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com or listen to the end of the show where you'll get our Twitter and Facebook addresses, and you can post stuff there as well. All right, so let's just get into this episode because there is, I feel like there is a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got, this is a game-changing episode because it changes. We knew a little bit of this last week when we found out that Sarah was actually on the boat with Oliver, but this changes everything about what we know or thought we knew about Oliver, and especially it gives us pretty much not everything, but a huge backstory for Sarah, like what happened to her in the 6 years since the Queen's Gambit went down. So Sarah seems to be the main focus of the episode, so I want to deal with her. And the thing that I see in this episode, because the name League of Assassins, unlike probably 90% of the other episodes here, doesn't really kind of help us with the theme much. Though the theme is the League of Assassins. The League of Assassins. And so my voice is going to go if I keep doing that.
Yeah, that was Ted Knight in the later years, I think.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jim J. Bullock there. As
nice too close for comfort reference there. But so there were many characters in this that were burdened with something. Mainly Sarah. She is burdened with the history of what she has done with the League. That's, you know, the murder seems to be paramount on her mind, and it's something that she feels that she can't, that she's ashamed, basically, to come back to her family and, you know, have them know her and find out about this. Not that it's like, it's, you come back, it's not like, hey, where you been? Oh, well, you know, I've been killing people for the last 5 years, so, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a little ashamed. You know, it's like, that's not how you present it. But she seemed a little overly dramatic and overly wrought about it, I think. But
yeah, I don't know if that was the whole thing or not, if maybe she's just ashamed of it. Or, I mean, I get the whole idea that she's protecting her family,
right,
and trying to keep them from that. But I'm kind of with you. I mean, it seems like, especially her dad, you know, I mean, he's gonna understand, and he did. He did end up kind of understanding. I mean, he got it, and he even handled it better than I expected with keeping the secret.
Yeah.
So I, you know, but I'm with you. She seemed a little over dramatic. Like maybe we don't know something, or,
well, obviously there's a lot we don't know because, you know, based on what we've seen in the flashbacks, there's still about, you know, 5 years between, you know, the furthest point we've gotten with the flashback. And that may be the point, is that, you know, we'll continue to see Sarah in flashbacks, regardless of whatever happens to her character, in the future, because she's kind of gone away now. I mean, I'm assuming that we will still see her character in the present day portions, but, she definitely will be showing up in the flashbacks, at least on the boat here for a while. She has had obviously a lot of indoctrination with the League of Assassins. There is something else going on there. And then, you know, that she left the League of Assassins for some reason, like she feels like she needs to be out. But as she points out in this episode, there's really only one way out of the League. And she doesn't say what that is, but I think we can assume that is you know, you get killed by another member. It's like you're in the League until you're dead. And that's kind of the way that it works. But I want to go back to talking a little bit about, like what you said about, Quentin here, about him handling this secret. So Sarah doesn't want her parents or her sister to know that she's back, right? Because supposedly because she's ashamed of her actions, you know. It's, I mean, I think it's generally understandable. I would think, you know, you did you know, crash and almost drown getting off a boat. And if, like, you know, you, that's what you had to do to survive. If your choice was, which it probably was, you know, like, you can kill some people or you can die. It, just like Ollie made the hard choices, right? I mean, he had to keep choosing to survive, and that included, you know, killing people, right, on the island and supposedly on the boat here.
Who knows all that? I mean, who knows all the stuff on the island? And I know not off of the island, because it was obvious as he was talking to Diggle afterwards. But I mean, obviously Sarah knows a lot of the stuff.
You mean who else knows?
Yeah, has he shared? How much has he shared with Diggle and Felicity?
I think in the that's a good point. In some of the flashbacks, I think he, like, when there was the one where he was shot, where he was shot in the present day, and he was, you know, we were having flashbacks to, it was mostly an island episode. It was in season one.
Right.
I want to I feel like some of that stuff may have bled over in his delirium, you know, to the present day, but that's true. I don't know how much he really has shared in the present day. I mean, he's obviously told them stuff, and now he's admitted, well, you know what? I really wasn't on the island the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I mean, they knew about the island, and they knew that he'd killed, and they knew he'd gone through a lot, and obviously they knew where the island was and what tree he'd be hanging out in, but yeah, it was just as you were saying that, I wonder how much he's shared. Because he kind of comes clean with a lot of other stuff at the end that they don't show us the whole thing, but we're to assume that he told Diggle what else happened. So
they kind of, probably while they were sharing the drink, he probably shared a little bit more. It is true. I think I want to say that I think we can assume that he's told them enough, you know, so it's comparable to what we know, maybe not like all the details and, like, this is Shadow and this is Slade and stuff like this. But, I just, for some reason, I just feel that, you know, that's what he did.
That feels about right, because we don't even know everything. So,
right.
Maybe he has just kind of shared, what he was comfortable with so far, and he's kind of working through more. Okay, that's
right,
because
he's talked about some of his scars and stuff like this.
That totally works for me, and that's kind of what's in my head right now. So,
okay,
so you may proceed.
Thank you. So, but Sarah, you know, has all of this stuff, and then she seems to make the decision relatively easy that, well, you know what, in order to save my dad's life, I need to reveal myself to him. And like you said, he seemed to take it okay. But then she tells him, you know, you can't tell Mom and you can't tell Laurel. I need you to adhere to this. And it's when you start, you know, in the episode, it's like, okay, you know, it's, you know, he seems okay with that because he gets to have his daughter back that he thought he lost, which my question is, for how long does he get to have her back? Or, you know, might he actually lose Laurel at some point, at this point, which I'm kind of rooting for just because they've turned the Laurel character into such a crappy person. But I want to talk about that a little bit more because I think there's reason for that. I think there's reason for that. So, and I was talking to my wife about this because we are both of the same mind that Laurel is just a piece of trash right now. Anyway, sorry, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But going back to Sarah, think about this, and let me know your thoughts on this. She puts Quentin in, she has put her entire family, including Quentin, in a horrible, horrible position. She's dead. The timeline for her actions, real quickly, are Oliver and Sarah go down in the when the Queen's Gambit goes down. Let's rephrase that. They both go into the water. Oliver and his dad get to the island, and then just Oliver. And Sarah floats on the piece of door a la Titanic and gets picked up by the Amazo somewhere not near the island or away enough from the island in that same island chain, I'm guessing, because the Amazo appears to be going from island to island looking for these bodies or whatever. Oliver spends a year on the island. Sarah spends a year or some portion of a year on the boat with Professor Ivo. But we don't know what happens there. Then Oliver gets picked up by the boat a year after the shipwreck-ish, right? A year-ish. And Sarah is back on the boat, and she's a tough-as-nails kind of kick-butt interrogator and we don't know what happens at that point. So there is still a portion of Sarah's timeline that we don't know, from her meeting with Anthony Ivo to her basically kicking Oliver in the face. And at some point in there, as she mentions, after the boat, she was recruited by the League of Assassins. So there was probably some training period in there. And then she continues on with the League. I'm guessing that Oliver is supposed to be, I think I mentioned last week, Oliver is supposed to probably be her first kill to prove her loyalty to the League. And I think we'll probably see that coming up in a future episode. But meanwhile, while that's all happening back in Starling City, Laurel is becoming detached from both of her parents because her mom has hopped in a car and takes off. Her dad has hopped into a bottle and is drinking himself to death. And then, you know, he sobers up, but then Sarah comes back and says, but now you've got to keep my secret. And so she is taking her burden and giving it again, basically, to her dad, which, I mean, it's just a terribly crappy thing to do, to come back and then say, but you know what? I'm glad you're happy to see me, but you can't, you know, tell anybody else about me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure about the way she presented herself to her dad. You know, I'm not sure if that was the only option, but I mean, it seemed to work out okay. And, she must know her dad well enough that she expected he would handle it the way he did handle it. I mean, he really did. I mean, he could tell from that first, you know, as they were sitting in the Chinese restaurant, he could tell that there was something very serious going on.
And she's totally changed, too. I mean, he points out, you know, she knows Chinese. He sees her react to this crash with, you know, lightning reflexes, basically. My question is, do you think she's been keeping tabs on him in some of the intervening time? Because he's gone through, I mean, he is a completely different person than when his daughter left. You know, he was a detective, and then, you know, his daughter supposedly gets killed. And I mean, he's obviously been through 5 years of heartache and pain and struggle and redemption. And then gets busted down to, you know, an officer. So,
yeah, curious. I think she's totally kept tabs on what's been going on. I mean, I think she's been watching him for, he even mentioned something about, the time that, you know, the canary had shown up, cause he put it all together really quickly. Which makes me wonder how he hasn't figured out who Oliver is.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the one thing, because he has been a very smart character. It's like, oh wait, you're back. Oh, you're the woman in the mask, because you know Felicity, so you know the arrow. And the next step is him to say, oh wait, and that's Oliver. You know, it's like, oh come on, dude, you can put it together. And maybe he just doesn't want to. Maybe, you know.
Yeah. And I think we've even talked about that. You know, I mean, he's kind of purposefully not trying to figure it out. But,
right.
You know, Felicity Smoke is Oliver's personal assistant there, pal. And by the way, he only had a hood on and he's standing, you know, 2 feet from you. But
but his voice is so different. When he puts those glasses on, I don't know. I don't recognize him anymore.
Well, hey, you know, and Sarah said, you know, the first thing you think of when you're not around somebody is their voice. You forget all about it, right? So
that's true.
Obviously.
I didn't even think about that. That is a great point. It's, you know, which is why he does change his voice probably, but still.
Yeah, there you go. It's perfect disguise.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to remember that next time I don't want somebody to know who I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to start answering the phone like that.
With a little voice disguiser. It'll help out with the telemarketers, so.
I don't want to buy a timeshare.
Very good.
So, No, I forgot what your original question was, but I could just see how you know, she's been keeping tabs on him and the entire family because she's worried about them as soon as she decided to leave. Mm-hmm. But are you asking, did she keep tabs on him before she even came back?
Right. So within the last, you know, like 4 years or something like that, you know, while Oliver was still on the island, do you think she's been around and keeping tabs on any of her family in the missing years, you know, when Oliver was missing?
Yeah, actually, I don't think she has.
Okay.
I don't think she really and I think part of that was I think she had kind of told herself that that part of her was dead and she knew she couldn't go back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, after she had gone through all the experiences, she obviously made the decision she didn't want her family to know about that part of her.
Yeah.
So I don't think she decided to come back until she heard about the you know, everything that happened in the Glades.
Yeah. Yeah. I just – but and I guess my original question to you was just about, you know, her burdening her dad with the fact that she's back and she can't, you know – She now has unburdened herself, but she's given that burden to her dad. And now it's like, now you've got to carry this and, you know, not let anybody know. Because she goes around, right, up until that point, she's gone the entire episode. Ollie, did you tell him? No, I kept a secret. And then she goes up to Felicity, please don't tell my dad that I'm back. And she's like, no, I can keep a secret. And Diggle, you won't tell anybody. No, you know, we're good. And then she can't handle it anymore or you know. Not that she can't handle anymore. She feels that, like I said, that's kind of her only way to save her dad is to reveal herself. But then it's like, Dad, okay, you can't tell anybody. It's just, it's not fair. I just feel it's kind of a dick move.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I also am not sure that she had much choice.
And that is true.
She really did feel like the pressure. So I mean, it's one of those things that you have to make a decision. None of your decisions are fun or good, but you try to make the best decision that's going to have the least consequences. And I think that's what she decided. And that's why she only revealed herself to Quentin and not to Laurel, who very clearly couldn't handle anything like that right now.
Can't handle the truth.
Can't handle much of anything.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Sarah's assumptions of her family here.
So which assumptions do you mean? Just about who to reveal to or whether they can handle it or?
Probably about what they can handle, I guess.
Well, it seems, and it seems pretty obvious by the end that her assumptions are correct. Quentin did handle it pretty well. It's not pleasant, but he handled it pretty well. I mean, I think he had to go through the whole fiasco up in the clock tower there, with and see the actual assassins coming after him to fully get it.
Yeah.
He handled himself really well up there too. By the way, I like that.
Yeah.
And again with Laurel, I think she was right. And you know, I was thinking about this and how Oliver went through all those changes and became so much stronger person and a tough person. It was horrible what he went through.
Yeah.
And now it seems as if Sarah has gone through similar or maybe worse kinds of things. I'm just thinking Laurel she needs to go to an island and have a few years of some toughness beaten into her because she's just falling down the toilet. I mean, her, everybody knows it. Everybody can see it.
And, yeah. Well, now hang on. Cause I want to touch on Lauren. Just one second. I just got one more question about Sarah.
Okay.
I want to touch on. So your father and, so I want you to imagine that, you know, your kids have grown up and they've gone off and, you know, they're living their lives. Now, one of them does something that, you know, would probably not be something that would make you proud. Definitely doesn't make them proud. And I would assume, again, from my standpoint, is that if one of my kids did that and they came back and they told me about it, it's like, I'm not going to love you any less because you screwed up, you know, and that's kind of what I'm seeing in this episode is that she's like, well, God, they're just not going to love me and they're going to hate me and they're going to not accept me. And, you know, because.
Oh, so so her assumptions that her family's going to feel different about her.
Right. Cause I mean, that seems to be the main, driving force, at least as I understood it, as to why she didn't want to reveal herself. That probably also along with the fact that, you know, she's trying to protect them because if the league finds out who, Well, I mean, obviously, I'm sure they know who her family is. She probably had to fill out an application, you know, and you have to list next to kin and stuff like that. I mean, just, you know, they have references and stuff like that. But, you know, you want to protect your family from that as well.
You imagine getting a call for a reference from the League of Assassins.
Hello, I'm calling from the League of Accountants and have a few questions.
Okay, would you say that she'd be capable of killing someone in a given situation? Okay,
figuratively speaking, of course.
Yeah, I think they knew who her family was, obviously, so yeah. They seem to know pretty much everything.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I suppose that kind of stuff I can always kind of chalk up to what she's gone through. I mean, you're in a serious, desperate situation when, like I said, you kind of feel like everything before that, every part of your life before that is just dead. I mean, you're a completely different mm-hmm. human being. And isn't it weird that you asked me, you know, if one of my kids came home and did that, as that scene was going on, as she was having that whole emotional scene with Quentin, and especially like outside of his car, you know, when he was kind of freaking out there and she shows up.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I was afraid he was going to shoot her before he knew what was going on. You know, I was just, who knew?
Yeah. I thought there was going to be a fight there and he was going to see after that. But, but isn't it, see, I have two daughters, and isn't that weird that my first thought was, what if this was my youngest daughter coming up telling me this? And it was kind of an emotional sort of tug of war in my head as I was thinking, what would I do? Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So I thought it was handled pretty well, although I agree with you about Sarah. She's kind of, you know, I think she's just torn up inside and doesn't know what decision to make, because none of them are good.
Right. Well, I can imagine that, you know, being in this league, which is, you know, probably very cult-like, now it makes me think about Brother Blood, right? Because we didn't, you know, we had him last week, but we haven't touched on him. So I can see that the league and, you know, as a cult kind of figure, and Brother Blood, I think those two elements are going to interweave, and I can just see a big like three-way showdown coming up at the end of the season here, but I digress. I'm sure her head is completely screwed up from being with this group, because, you know, I'm sure she's been indoctrinated. They've told her, you know, what's what. She's had, obviously, to, you know, kill people, and she seems to react without emotion, yet she has not fully dismissed herself from that emotion, because she's able to, you know, come back, like you said, in that scene with her dad outside the car. But then you look at the scene in the clock tower when, was it Al-Owal?
LOL.
Yeah. LOL?
LOL, yeah.
That's what I thought they said at first.
LOL.
Where he, you know, surprises them and boom, she just reacts. She turns around, she's got her staff in her hand, she's ready to go. So, it's,
well, she had drawn them there. It kind of surprised me that she brought Quentin up there to draw them there, but I guess she kind of had to because they were after Quentin.
It's so. Bait, right? You see, I mean, yeah, she knew they were coming. Obviously, she had set everything up, and, you know, it's great because, you know, we didn't get to see all that, but, you know, you look back and it's like she knew they were coming. She had time to set all this stuff up. The one idiot League of Assassin dude, you know, stepped into that snare trap pretty easily. It's like, did you not just, you know, there's nothing else on the floor. Did you not see the rope? But we'll see.
I'm sure she had it cleverly disguised.
Right, right. Okay, so Laurel. Good. She's not drinking anymore. Oh, wait a second. She's taking prescription drugs.
Well,
what is next?
What do you want? She's not drinking. You didn't want her to drink.
You said not to drink anymore. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. No. Well, but, you know, actually, we don't want you on any addictive stuff. I mean, holy crap. We're going to see her taking Vertigo next week at this rate. I mean, it's like drinking drugs and it's like she's going to be dead. Okay. So,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say just real quickly, my thought is they obviously, the writers, the creators, they're doing this on purpose. I think we are seeing the spiral of this character, as with Oliver and as with Sarah. Both these characters were not in great places to begin with before they started their journeys. Oliver was this, you know, rich, spoiled kid, and Sarah probably was very similar. She was obviously very promiscuous, and didn't care about anybody else around her, you know, obviously, especially not her family. And now family is foremost for her. Oliver and her have both been broken down, much like, you know, in like a military organization. You break the people down and then you build them back up stronger from the ground up because you have to get rid of all that stuff. I feel that what the creators are trying to do here is take Laurel down to, they're going to take her down to rock bottom. She's got this great new job, but she's going to lose, you know, all credibility and stuff here. And she is going to be at this low part of her life at some point here in this season. And something is going to drive her over the edge. And I think I mentioned this last week. I feel that it's going to be the death of her. She's going to find that her sister is back, and then her sister is going to die, or her sister's going to die, and then she's going to have found out that she's been back this entire time and not had the chance to like reconcile with her. And then we're going to see, the rebirth of Laurel Lance, and we're going to get, you know, a really solid character. But until that point, we got to deal with this really crappy version of this character, which right now I can't stand.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, and I haven't been a fan all season. We've talked about this before, but so my question to you is, are they, you know, growing her to be Black Canary? Do you think?
I think that is possibly the plan because, I mean, right now, I don't really care. I'd rather see Katie Lotz stay on as canary character. It's like, that's perfect. But then you look at all the stuff that they teased. You look back at the first season. It was blatantly obvious that they were trying to tease Laurel as Canary. I mean, they just mentioned so many things. They, you know, talked about her and her fishnets. They showed her having and actually in the pilot or in the premiere of episode – the premiere of season two, they had her do a move on.
Yeah, she was kicking butt. Some guy, some bodyguard or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of the hoods, the hood wannabe guys. So she's got these skills that we know she's got, but we've only seen her use them twice. And, you know, it's not appropriate for where her character is now to see those, you know, skills in action. You don't usually see the DA or the assistant DA, you know, kicking ass and taking names. So, I don't know. There's another show I watch that the lead character on it, basically the main character, I can't stand this season. I wish he would just go away. Unfortunately, it's his show. And I can see what they're trying to do because they're trying to set it up for the end of the season and the kind of the series wrap up for this character. But I don't like what's happening, and I don't like what's happening here with Laurel either. But like you said, she needs some time on an island to toughen herself up. I think that she will find her island. I think the island will be a metaphor for her to, you know, rebuild herself, and you know the time spent in Starling City, I think, you know, she will find her purpose here, and that purpose probably will be for her to take over the mantle of Black Canary here at some point.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I worry about with that, and I really shouldn't, because, you know, I've had these kinds of worries on the show before, and the writers have always come back and pleasantly surprised me, you know, with the way they handled it. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I worry is that Oliver had to go through 5 years of hell to get where he is. Obviously, Sarah had to go through those same 5 years of a different hell to get where she is and to be as tough as she is. I don't know what Laurel could go through and still achieve that kind of ability.
I think we're going to see her growth over the series. Like, you know, they've always talked about it being a 5-year series, so that basically when the series ends, it'll, you know, it'll loop back to the beginning where he was rescued from the island. Maybe the point of the series will be Laurel's growth over, you know, a 5-year period. And it kind of ends up, you know, being that becomes her hell, you know, the breakup mm-hmm. of her family, the breakup of her friend's family, the destruction of the Glades, whatever else is to come. Who knows? I would hate to have it take that long.
I trust. Yes, I would too. And that, and I don't really want Laurel to be the focus of that because it's not her show. It's not.
True.
I mean, she's an important part of it, but you know, I don't
less
really
and less so to, now. It seems like. Yeah. I mean, it's like she's not going to be a romantic character. It kind of made clear on this episode. She's not. You know, she's basically and they're pitting her against Oliver's mom, where you're like, okay, you know, that's just low. I mean, they're really not making her into a likable character. I mean, on purpose. Again, it's a purposeful place that they're writing her into. So
I don't know. So unlikely that she would.
Of course, next week they're going to come back and she's going to be like, oh, you know, I went to that AA meeting last week and I'm totally cool now. I feel like I'm going out and kicking some butt. I'm going to go put on a costume.
Oh, no. They wouldn't do that. They better not do that.
I mean, they turn stuff around so fast on this show. You don't think it's going to happen like that?
Yeah, no. I don't. I think they have – well, I think you're right. I think they have bigger plans for her to make her go down that path, mm-hmm. the island path.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so – talking about the flashbacks here, because I think that's probably the next most interesting thing. We've got Professor Ivo, whose name should be familiar to fans of the Justice League. He is a pretty famous dude. You may have heard of a couple of the creations that he's made. Amazo is one, robotic. I don't even know what you consider him because he can shape shift and adapt and steal the powers of the Justice League. And then he created another robot, not really a robot, a synthezoid, or he co-created him, the Red Tornado, along with T.O. Morrow. So what is Ivo doing? It appears in this episode that he has contracted the captain and this crew to come out here. We found out last week they're looking for these bodies from these Japanese soldiers' bodies from World War II that are on a Chinese island. What? And he wants to save the world. Or the human race, I think is what he said, right?
Yeah, save the human race. Well, now wasn't Dr. Ivo, or was it Dr. Ivo?
Professor
Ivo. Professor Ivo. Wasn't he like immortal? And it had something to do with a serum or something like that.
He was working on some serum for immortality, and then he took it and he turned into some, like, he got, like, lizard flesh or, like, crocodile flesh. And he got all messed up. and it gave him, like, you know.
He had a whole bunch of diseases, too, or something.
There's a whole bunch. I mean, he's had many varied origin stories of, you know, in different times on.
Well, so I'm wondering if that'll come into play with the, you know, with whatever he has planned for the human race. He's got a, however, it did kind of make me speculate a little bit more about what he's looking for with the bodies. You know, I think that has something to do with whatever he's doing with his plan for the human race. So he hired this sadistic crew, and they don't.
No, just the sadistic captain. I think the sadistic captain got the sadistic crew.
Okay,
guy we saw last week? I don't know.
The guy from Heroes.
Heroes, right?
That. So you think that's the captain? Was the captain?
I feel like it was, but now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed like it, but they don't. They certainly don't trust this guy. I mean, they don't. The professor, the crew doesn't trust the
right.
Ivo, or they don't. You know, they don't. I guess
they don't trust, respect.
They don't
him,
respect
I guess.
Him. They yeah. don't look at him as somebody that's in charge. But yet he's paying them for this. So why does he need them? Why are they so yes, there's a lot more questions, but I think that whatever he has planned for the human race has something to do with the Japanese soldiers they're looking for.
Weird, weird, weird. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe that was someone's original experiment. Maybe it was his original experiment, and he's that old or something like that. He doesn't, you know, he only looks to be in his early 40s, I guess.
Oh, that would fit the comic, you know, canon, I guess. So,
hey, just I'm taking a look at last week's credits for the episode for Crucible, and the guy from Heroes, who Jimmy Jean-Louis, he is listed as the captain. I'm guessing.
Well, he did seem like it, so.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed in control. So basically, he's the one that the crew listens to, and he's the one that came in and shot Oliver. And then we didn't see him this week. We saw Professor Ivo, who says that, you know, the crew was like, well, we don't have to listen to you. And he's like, yes, but you listen to the captain, and I hired him, and he listens to me. So, ipso facto, you listen to me, you know, and they were like, yeah.
Fine, Dicker.
Oh. So, but other than that, you know, like I said earlier, there's this kind of Sarah gets off the boat, gets worked up with the League of Assassins in some fashion, and then comes back to the boat to kick Oliver's butt. I don't know. There's, you know, much more mystery there. There's all sorts of interesting things going on.
Yeah, well, they like I said, they left opportunity for plenty of questions, for new storylines, even if Sarah won't be in present time storyline for a while, and I think it looks like probably she won't. But I'm very confident that she will be back.
I would think that I think she'll be gone for the remainder of the first half of the season here at least.
Oh, you think that long, huh?
I think so. Think back to season one now with the Huntress and what they did, you know, so they had her on for a little bit and then she went away and then she came, didn't she, or was she just on for two episodes? I thought she went away for a couple episodes and then came back.
I think she did come back a little later on for one episode.
Right. Before she left, quote, for good, right. To go off and do her own thing. But, very similar for the way that they were introducing Sarah's character and, you know, setting stuff up with her. But I think they did a much better job with setting up, you know, Canary here than they did with the Huntress. You know, the Huntress's storyline seemed forced because there was no connection to our main characters here. Sarah's is very organic because she's been with us since the pilot episode. I mean, she has been a part of these characters' lives since, you know, prior to the island and everything else. Whereas, Helena was just some character that kind of came into Ollie's life and he's like, oh, you know, I feel like, you know, I can train you and stuff. And, you know, he didn't do a good job with that. Whereas, you know, Sarah kind of comes in pre-trained, not necessarily in the same, mindset as Ollie is at this point, but definitely he can relate to her, you know, what's going on and everything. So,
yeah.
So, Moira, the last piece here is the continuing story of Moira in prison, and the choice was death penalty or life with the chance of parole if she, I guess, cops a plea. And Oliver convinces her to, you know, not to take the plea bargain, right? Was that the final outcome of that, or am I?
Yeah. She's going to fight it now. Right. Because Oliver and Theo went in there and talked to her and said, hey, you know, whatever secrets you got,
right,
we're going to be there for you, Ma. Come on, we're your kiddos.
There's obviously something else, and there's still other stuff that she's not telling her lawyer, and she's not telling her kids. It makes you wonder.
It did kind of make me wonder, and then I thought it might have something to do with, you know, her being responsible for Robert dying, or you know, I don't know what it was that she was so worried about, but maybe it's something we don't even know yet. Maybe it's something that we don't know she did when she was involved with Malcolm.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so you've got this episode called The League of Assassins. You find out that, which is great. So last week we found out that there's a guy that was dressed up like Malcolm Merlyn, and you think, oh my gosh, it's Malcolm Merlyn, but it's, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but it's not really him. It was some other dude that Canary kills, right, to send a message. And then this episode, you see a guy dressed like Malcolm Merlyn. Oliver thinks it's Merlyn come back. He's like, he cannot, you know, figure out what's going on. Of course, we already know what the case is. And there was that great little exchange there. But since Malcolm obviously was part of the league, I think he had mentioned it in one episode when he was in the hospital, possibly, after the attempted...
Was he talking to Tommy? Is that who he was telling
I
that
think
to?
So. Yeah, I want to say it was after the attempt on his life by Deadshot.
Yeah.
And the transfusion and everything like that. There was some discussion of that. So maybe Moira knows more about that part of Malcolm's life than she chooses to admit. And also, I'm kind of thinking out loud here with this. Sarah is listed, or she was mentioned as being the beloved. I'm assuming, like, you know, that's like an honorific, or, you know, like an actual term that Alowell used for her, that, you know, maybe she's like, you know, a right-hand assistant to Ra's al Ghul or something like that. But
yeah, you think it could be more than, I mean, I wouldn't think with Ra's al Ghul that it would, she would be, you know, like his lover or something like that, just because of the character, but maybe somebody higher that's also high up.
I'm thinking like a lieutenant, you know, in the organization, you know, like a,
okay,
like a Don in, you know, in like the mafia or something like that, you know, someone, yeah, pretty high up, but
the beloved though, huh? That's a pretty, prestigious name for some, you know, like your number one. I, you know, I've got a teaching assistant at my school, but I don't call her the beloved. You know?
Well, yeah, that would be really awkward with your wife and everything, obviously. So, but no, what I'm thinking is that, you know, so she wanted, Sarah apparently wanted out and just like left the organization. But now, Malcolm, he was not necessarily part of the organization, or, you know, there's obviously stuff we don't know about. And there are rumors that, John Barrowman will be back here in season two. So I'm assuming, you know, we're going to be talking about him in some flashbacks, because obviously he seemed pretty dead, but again, dead in comic book world does not mean dead forever. So I'm just wondering, like, what the difference is. Like, was he working for the league in the same way that, you know, you saw Liam Neeson, you know, as, what was his name, Ducard in Batman Begins, you know, pretending, mm-hmm. Ra's al Ghul was pretending to be Ducard, you know, infiltrating into all levels of society and stuff like that. Because otherwise it seems like the league are a bunch of dudes in black hoodies that run around, pretty obvious as to who they are. But otherwise maybe they're blending in some other fashion. So there's something else going on there with all that.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's, I think the League of Assassins is going to, you're going to find people that are involved in it that you wouldn't suspect.
Leads me back to, you know, having Moira know something else about that, or, you know, potentially she's involved, which,
yeah,
that would be
sense.
A huge twist, right? No one would ever expect. I mean, I'm not joking. I don't think anyone would ever expect that Oliver's mom is a member of the league.
Yeah, that would surprise me a lot. I mean, like you said, I mean, I wouldn't expect that, but I don't know that I'd buy it either.
No one expects the League of Assassins.
I mean, I guess if she, not that she was maybe a member, but that she knew about it and that she knew Malcolm was a part
right.
of it. I don't know that she would have to be a member of it, because that just wouldn't fit.
Right. Right. Well, so besides all the mention of the league, we also got a bunch of other cool little references here towards the comic. There's another mention of Nanda Parbat, which is where Sarah was trained. That's the same place that Malcolm mentioned that he got his training. So, and again, that's a Asian country in the DC universe, like a Tibet or something like that. There is mention of the child of Ra's al Ghul wants Sarah to come back. Probably a reference to Talia, who was the female character in The Dark Knight Rises. And I think not, this is kind of a spoiler for that film, I think, but I believe she died in that. So, you know, again, these don't necessarily take place in the same, I guess, continuity as the Batman films, like the Marvel stuff does. Right. She died in that, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah, okay. She did.
And then, we find out that Sarah took that everybody has to take a different name in the league. So, Al Owal, who is the main assassin guy that we find out, his name translates to the first, which
not laugh out loud,
not laugh out loud. No.
Okay.
I thought it was like it was supposed to be like an owl kind of thing. I don't know. Just, you know, kind of a bird reference, right? So Al Owal, Owal, you know, it sounds a little bit like an owl. I don't know. I just, it probably has nothing to do with anything, obviously, since it doesn't translate into an owl. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, because she's the canary and he is the owl, maybe. I don't know. But she took the name Ta'ar Safar, which is horrible Arabic, I'm sure. I apologize to anybody out there that actually speaks Arabic.
I don't know. That was a pretty good accent I thought you had.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's Arabic for canary, which you could probably assume that that was what was going to happen with that. The other thing interesting that I picked up, she comes into Oliver's secret hideout there, the Arrow Cave, and says, I remember the first time I saw this hood, Shadow was wearing it. So I think it was on last week's episode, she mentioned that she knew Slade and
Yeah. She
knows Shadow. So both those two characters are not dead, which is great. Unless she knows them in a, you know, at a time where we, before the now in the flashbacks, and we haven't seen her introduced. But no, I think she'll meet them in the flashbacks moving forward.
It did surprise me, though, that she said that that Shadow was wearing the hood.
Well, that was the hood that we've seen Shadow wearing that hood.
Have we? Oh, okay. Yeah.
There are times on the island when, like, Shadow's out hunting and stuff, she's wearing the green hood.
You're right. I had kind of forgotten about that. Yeah. So, well, it still surprised me.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's not really noticeable, too, because, you know, you're just, it's out of context, right? You don't realize it's the same hood as the one that Oliver's wearing. So, and then speaking of the Batman series, there was a great little exchange or a line by Sarah in the clock tower when they were having the fight at the end, where she says you should be more mindful of your surroundings as she's attacking Al-Owal, which was the line that Liam Neeson used on Bruce Wayne when they were fighting. Well, in a number of scenes, I guess there was the initial fight on the ice and then in the train at the end of Batman Begins. Which I may have to go back and watch Batman Begins again and just, you know, look for some more stuff that they talk about with the League and
I'm not as up on the League of Assassins as some of the other things show so far. So
everyone's been a member. Let's see. I think Deadman was killed by the League of Assassins. Bronze Tiger was a member at one point. Canary was a member at one point. You know, you've got Ra's al Ghul and Talia who are leading it. I think they're, you know, it's one of those organizations in the DC universe that, you know, can connect pretty much any character. It's like 6 degrees of,
it's like a superhero union or something.
Yeah. So, and then of course, as we already discussed, Professor Anthony Ivo, big deal in the mythology of the DC universe and a lot of potential for that character to show up in other ways here. So that should be pretty cool.
I'm still wondering if any of these people are going to have some sort of connection to the origin of the Flash. You know, whatever Ivo's working on is that. I know there's a particle accelerator going up in Starling City. Obviously, everybody knows it's on the news every day. But do any of these people have that connection? Because they seem to be flowing pretty well with things on throughout this season that are somehow connected to something, whether it's the island or the undertaking or
right.
So I'm just curious, you know, we'll see if that has anything to do with
interesting.
It.
Yeah. I hadn't started thinking about that, but let's start, you know, I guess we'll know here in about a month because at the beginning of December, we're going to start moving into that territory with Barry Allen. So that should be pretty exciting. And the next episode to tease a little bit here, it looks really exciting. We've got the return of a great villain that I think I would say arguably I think is probably one of the coolest villains we've gotten on the show so far. We've seen him a couple times. We've got the potential return of a female love interest for Diggle. And we've got the introduction of a new character from the DC universe. But I can't tell you at this point if they're going to make her a good guy or a bad guy. So that should be pretty cool. Is that a good tease?
That's a very good tease.
Yeah. So go ahead and watch the trailer for the next episode. Looks very exciting. And I'm sure next week when we come back, I will be saying, my gosh, this episode was better than last week. So we'll have to
I hope
see.
So.
I hope so too. I hope
I'm
so
liking
too.
Every introduction that you do when you say that. So
anyway, that's all we have for this week's episode of Green Justice, an Arrow podcast.
And if you enjoy this episode, make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. You can also contact us by email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com. I love seeing those emails about the nickname for Arrow fans, so keep sending those in. Or you can also put that on Twitter or catch us on Twitter at @GreenJusticePod or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And if you're enjoying this show and you want to check out something else that we do, you can also listen to the other podcast Josh and I put out called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And you can find that via iTunes or at randomchatter.com. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.